God answers prayer. God answers prayers. God answers prayers. God answers prayer. He's so good to me. He's good to you too. Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you all with smiley faces. You're happy. It's a new day, and it's a very good day because the Word of God says that this is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and to be glad in it. Shall we stand together? And we're going to sing our first song, God Forgave My Sin. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness said, sing that song again, but shall we bow our heads in prayer first? Father, we thank you this morning that you woke us up, and because you alive, we live today. We stand before you, Lord, with our hearts lifted up, singing praises unto your name, giving you all the glory and the honor which rightfully belongs to you. And therefore, we want to thank you that you did not leave us as orphans. You sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us and to guide us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each heart that is bowed in your presence this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you have already poured out your Spirit. You have already blessed your people in Jesus' name. Come, Lord, continue to touch, to move, and have your being in our midst. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness said, embrace. Worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns, you reign victorious. While we are standing, can we just lift up his name in your heart, or however you express your love towards him, just to thank him. Father, thank you that you took our shame, our sin upon you, so that we can be free. Lord, thank you. You took it all upon you 2,000 years ago. And Lord, you are still working in our lives, Lord. You are still removing sin from our lives, Lord. You are still removing wrong ways and attitudes from our lives, Lord. Thank you for the power that's in your blood, Lord. The blood that still flows like a river. The blood. Oh, it's only the blood that can make us whole. It's the blood that set us free. It is the blood that delivers us. Lord, thank you for your blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can even be covered under the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. If there's anyone that would love to just share a testimony of what the Lord has done, feel free. You may stand over there or you can come to the front.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lunga, and I would just love to read a psalm from the Bible. It's Psalm 50. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and calls the earth. From the rising of the sun, Psalm 50, the mighty one God, the Lord speaks and calls the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not speak. Silence. A fire devours before him, and round about him a mighty tempest ranges. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, and he may judge his people. Gather together to me, my saints, those who have found grace in my sight, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, And the heavens declare his righteousness and justice. For God, he is judge. And calmly think of that. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify to you and against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, your burnt offerings, and continually before me. I will accept no bull from your house, nor he cow, nor he goat out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills or upon the mountains where the thousands are. I know and am acquainted with all the birds of the mountains, and the wild animals of the field are mine and are with me in my mind. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats, offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High? And call on me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall honor and glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you recite my statements or take my covenant or pledge on your lips? Seeing that you hate instruction and correction and cast my words behind you, discarding them. When you see a thief, you associate with them, and you have taken part with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I keep silent. You thought I was once entirely like you, but now I will reprove you and put the charge in order before your eyes. Now consider this. You who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. He who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me, and he who orders his way aright, who prepares the way that I may show him, to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms 50. Psalm 50. For those of you that want to follow that up, make a note of it and maybe read it again. Thank you. Please, this is an opportunity to share, to read a scripture. If you don't worry, if you go on too long, I'll ask you to stop. So don't worry, you won't be too long. Is there anybody else?
I would like to just give my testimony of how I came to know our Lord. It was a couple of years ago. My daughter was in standard 6 at the time, so you can imagine it's a few years back. But however, she came to me at that time. Just to give you a bit of background, I was a Christian. I used to go to church on Christmas Day and perhaps Easter, but that was about it. I never had a Bible, I never read one. However, my daughter came to me with a question from school about the Bible, that was in the Bible, and I said, I'll get the answer for you, not thinking of what was going to happen. I took it with me to work, and one of my bosses there was an Anglican minister, and I spoke to him and I asked him for the answer, and he gave me the answer out of the Bible. And I was walking out of his office very happy that I had the answer to the question. I can't even remember what it was nowadays. But anyway, he gave me the answer, and as I walked out of his door, it turned my life upside down. I didn't know whether I was Arthur or Martha. Absolute, I wouldn't say I was a wreck, but I was close to it. In tears, I didn't know what was happening, and he called me back. And he prayed with me. And it's amazing how my life turned around. I had to start going to church. My wife thought I was a nut. But the way I turned around, I had to go to church. I had to go to a Bible study. I bought a Bible. And the amazing part is, when I went back and I gave my daughter the answer to that question, she said, Dad, I don't need it no more. So that's the way it went for me. Thank you all.
Good morning. The psalm that Lunga read at the last verse is one of my favorite verses. I also go back to, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me. and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God.
Amen.
When we thank God and we praise God, we honor him. God prepares the way that he will show us his salvation. He will reveal himself to us. So I want to say God is alive. God is at work. And all we have to do is just be alert and recognize his hand, recognize the way he speaks to us. If we don't take note of God, speaks to us through people, he speaks to us through his word, he speaks to us through nature. This has been a week of a lot of things happening, but this is why I'm saying God is at work, and I thank him that he's alive and he's at work. On Wednesday, we had our interdenominational intercession, and so we were praying. Today is a prayer walk for abortion. We're having a prayer walk from the Antimony Center and going to the clinic and so on. So we were praying for the youth, and as the Holy Spirit led us, one of the ladies just came up with calling the prodigals in. Lord, we call the prodigals in. We call those who are lost, those who have fallen away. And we ended our session. We had a beautiful session. People dispersed, and there were still two ladies. And I was hovering there at the veranda, and I see a guy walking straight towards the center, and I'm like, long story short, asked him who he is. He said, no, I've just come here. I need somebody to talk to. My life is just, I've come all the way. I've come from Mitchell's Plain. How did you come here? How did you know to come here? Then I looked for Christopher. Christopher was busy with the geezer. Him and Paul were in and out, and I couldn't find him. I thought maybe he should speak to a man. Couldn't find Christopher. He had gone somewhere else. And then I said, you know, we've just finished praying. We are three ladies here. We can just share with you and hear your heart, and we'll just help you hear what God has to say to you. And he's really down. He was divorced 3 years ago. The wife won't allow him to see the children. So life is just heavy on him. He almost wants to go the wrong way. And got him in there, and we listened to his story, but prayed, tried to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then we said to him, you know what, now you sit at that table there, and you talk to God. There's a guidance there, and then there's this other one. We say, God, speak to me. And so we left him there for a while. One of the ladies remained there. I went home, and she came back to tell me later. He says, as he was sitting there, the light just came. God just brought light upon him. And then she continued to minister and just share the word of the Lord with him. And he accepted the Lord as his personal savior. And she actually took him straight away. She found a place where she can baptize him. And she had somebody else with her. Went and they baptized him. Took him to Kentucky. Had something to eat. Gave him money. You go back to Mitchell's Plain. You go back and you reconnect with your wife. And you reconnect with your children. So your God is great. And yesterday, two people came to the door. Long story short. And, you know, when you pray about something, you pray, Lord, what is the situation for this person? What should we do? Sometimes God uses you to be the answer to that situation. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Lunga, Keith, and Sunetta for coming up and reading and sharing. Sunetta mentioned something. She said he wanted to go the wrong way. She's using a euphemism. He wanted to take his life. This man was at a desperate point of his life. God intervenes. I mean, I don't understand how the Lord leads somebody from Mitchell's Plain to come here to meet somebody, to intervene, and then send him back. I was immediately, when she told me this, I was like, so who's he? What, you know, very, this doesn't sound right. Is he out to get something? What's this all about? But subsequent events show that it seems as though the Lord has led him here and that there was an intervention in his life. I just want to give you feedback. I did speak about it briefly. Sunetta and I were away for 2 weeks in Namibia, in Windhoek. We did the With God on Mission program or missions course. It's where you... The basis of it is the Discovery Bible Study. And we teach it to people, and actually first we don't teach it, we facilitate the process where people can hear God's voice, understand how to read the scriptures, and how to show others how to do that. And we find when people understand that anyone, that God speaks through the Bible, that anyone can discover what God is saying, and that Discovery Bible Study is a good way to do mission. When people understand that, then they go and they teach the Bible. They go and facilitate that process with others. So one of the highlights for me of that was that afterwards, or not afterwards, but during the session in the evening, one of the pastors asked us to speak at the congregation, and three young people recommitted their lives to the Lord. Okay, only three? Three people. For me, that was wonderful. Three young people. Now, they'd made decisions for the Lord before, but they'd gone off. They'd gone a bit on the, they'd left the backslidden, whatever, but they felt the need to recommit their lives to the Lord. And I'm trusting that the Lord would, it's a very, I mean, they meet in a building about a quarter, a very small building, corrugated roof sheets as a structure, no electricity, they've got a generator there, and the conditions aren't optimal. But when I looked at the young people, their faces, especially the rest of the group, they're alive, they wanting to serve God, and I was excited. It was a very positive note for me. The program itself, there were about 30 people, but I just looked at the report here. The 26 people from six regions of Namibia participated, or actually completed the program. I think we started out with about 30. And then many participants mentioned as a highlight Discovery Bible Study as a, well, as putting in practice immediately what they learned. I don't want to go through everything here, but it was a wonderful time. And so I thank you for your prayers, your contributions. The church made a contribution. I didn't, and I realized one of the things I need to do is maybe communicate more regularly with you about what we do, about our missions, so that you can participate in prayer, in giving, and maybe in going with as well. And so if that's something that you'd like to be involved in, please let me know about that. I'm going to stop now. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Let me first remind. Okay, she's excited.
Ek wil net vir die Here sê baie dankie. Een gebed wat ek jare al bid, het God voor.
I just want to thank the Lord very much. One of the prayers that I've prayed, He has answered.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Satan couldn't take it away. Oh no, I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. This little light. Okay, I just want to bring the notices. Good Friday, 8:30. Am I right? 8:30. Okay. And there's some special people that has come in. We have our dear brother there, Brother Dick Roberg, and then we've got Gail also over there, and I think there's some more. They don't tell, they just come. So I just want us to know that we don't pray for nothing. God does the work. Amen. So we're going to stand together and sing, Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise.
Great
You may be seated. We're going to take up our collections. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Pray. Let's open our hearts and minds to God's presence. We gather here today seeking His guidance and grace. May our worship be a true expression of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Intercession will be key, and after that, the word.
Pray. Lord of all, come in your strength and in your power and touch our lives. Help us not to operate under our own wisdom, but may we function under your anointing and favor. May every word we speak bring life and hope to those around us. We pray that you will draw us closer to you through your written word, and will give us the wisdom and understanding when you speak to us. We pray for our families, our friends, and our church. Please keep them all safe. We look at this world we live in and see that it is heading for disaster. We know that you are the only way forward, and control is in your hands. We ask that we will see growth in our churches and that Christianity will prevail. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to all our visitors. You're welcome. We're going to be reading from Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 9. Listen to the word in Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 4 to 9. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me. my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the Sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face one another. Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. We'll also have a reading from Psalm 31, verse 9 to 6. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I'm in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I am dead, as though I were dead. I've become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let's pray together. Father, as we read your word, and as we reflect on it, Lord, would you illuminate the scriptures, that we may see and hear your voice, that we may take instruction, that we will be guided by you, that you would direct our paths. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I ask a question? What day is next Sunday? Sunday coming. What day do we celebrate? You're going to have to speak louder. You know, I can't hear you. Easter Sunday. What's next Sunday? What day does the church celebrate? Somebody says the Opstanding, the resurrection. Easter. All right. And today, what Sunday does the church? Oh, that came out very strong. Palm Sunday. And what do we remember from Palm Sunday, or about Palm Sunday? Jesus entering Jerusalem. And people doing what? Putting palm leaves and doing what else? You're going to have to speak louder. Okay, let's one at a time. Sorry, Leon. People shouted Hosanna. What else did they do? What did they do with the palms? They put them on the ground. Ah, thank you, Maria. What else happened? He was being welcomed as a king. And what do we call that? There's a name. There's a certain name for that. Coronation, yeah, kings are coronated. But Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, triumphal entry. I want to read from Philippians, and then we're going to pray again. And then I'm going to get into the text. So our main text is Philippians. That is what I'm going to be holding forth to you this morning, is in Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to 11. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. I always have to interrupt myself. You know, I always say Philippi, but if I were to ask anybody and they ask me about that place down the road, I say Philippi. But now when I read the Bible, I say Philippi. Anyway, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we gather to remember the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem, Lord, would you prepare our hearts for more than waving palms? Would you lead us into the deep mystery of Christ's obedience and suffering? Oh Lord, would you let your word speak to our hearts today, that through it we may walk the path of Jesus, that we would do it faithfully and humbly, and with hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell me, have you ever been praised one day and completely rejected the next? Welcomed with open arms, only to be shut out shortly after. Has that ever happened to you? You see, Jesus understands that pain more than we ever could. On Palm Sunday, the crowds shouted, "Hosanna!" waving palm branches, putting their garments on the ground so he could walk across or ride across it. They celebrated his arrival. But only days later, a crowd would cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so we have waved our palms, but have we laid down our lives? We sing Hosanna, but have we surrendered to the King, who comes riding not in conquest, but in humility? Now Jesus spoke some very hard truths, truths that today still people find very difficult to reconcile themselves with, to accept. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. He also said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And then talking to the Father, he says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. When I listen to those words, they are not the declarations of a king grasping or a politician grasping for power. They are the cries and utterances of a suffering servant. And as we begin, as we enter into a holy week, we must ask ourselves, do we desire a crown without the cross? Or are we ready to follow Jesus in obedience, even through suffering? I think to better understand this text, this part of this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, we must step into the world of that original audience, those original hearers. Firstly, Philippi was a Roman colony populated by retired Roman soldiers, citizens, proud of their connection with Rome, their imperial status. It was a place of power, of hierarchy, of honor. And status mattered. It was important. They were citizens, after all, they were citizens of Rome. And they carried themselves with pride. And so Paul's words to the Philippians, urging believers to follow a king who humbled himself, in fact, who humbled himself to the point of death, is nothing short of revolutionary. And if it wasn't revolutionary, at least it was scandalous. And then Paul wasn't writing from a place of comfort. He was in prison, likely in Rome or Caesarea. And he was suffering for the gospel. And yet from confinement, He writes one of the most joyful and Christ-centered letters in the New Testament. And at the heart of Philippians is this ancient hymn that we've just read. Doesn't sound like a hymn, does it? But read it carefully. And read in different translations. It's a confession of Christ's humility, his obedience, his suffering, and glory. And it's a song, it's a hymn that the church, the early church, probably sung or recited together. And so I asked the question this morning, so what does this obedience actually look like in the life of Jesus? Well, Paul doesn't leave us guessing. He paints a picture of the path that Christ chose. Not one of status, but of surrender. Not comfort, but the cross. And do you have a picture of the cross here? A big... there we go. See it every Sunday. The cross. That looks very nice, doesn't it? Sort of sanitized. But if you think of the cross, don't think of that cross. Think of the cross Jesus hung on, died on, suffered on. Sometimes we have a way of sanitizing things which removes meaning and gives it another meaning. And we forget how the cross was actually a place of shame, of degradation, of suffering. You didn't find people wearing a cross around their necks. To die on the cross was a terrible thing, not just because of death, but because of the suffering and the ultimate humiliation. But that's what Jesus chooses, the cross. You see, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to exploit. Instead, the scripture tells us that he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. He became human. And more than that, he humbled himself to the point by becoming obedient to death. Even death on the Roman cross. In Isaiah 50, which foreshadows the humility of our Savior, it says, I offered my back to those who beat me. A picture of the suffering servant. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. And so, if you read Luke 23, reveals this path, this very dark path. Jesus is falsely accused, he's mocked, rejected by the crowd, mocked by the soldiers and the crowd, and crucified between criminals. And he doesn't resist. Rather, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then, Father, I commit into your hands, I commit my spirit. This, I believe, is a picture of the obedience of love. Not cursed, not forced, chosen. And today, what does that look like? I believe it's staying faithful when you are misunderstood or when you are vilified by family or by friends because you're following Christ. I believe today it's continuing to trust God when your career seems to be at a standstill. I believe it's serving faithfully behind the scenes without applause, without acknowledgement. Especially in a culture which seems to be addicted to attention. So I want to share a short story. A young man gave his life to the Lord at a revival service. And he was told that faith would open doors, that God had a great plan for him. And for a while, life seemed good. And then his mother was diagnosed with cancer. He lost his job. And friends started questioning his faith. And he started wondering, did I do something wrong? What's happening? That, my friends, is triumphalism unraveling. And so we should well ask, what is triumphalism? It's when you promise glory without the cross, or blessing without battle. But more than that, triumphalism is an attitude or belief that one's group, nation, or religion, where we believe that our ideology or our belief is superior and destined to dominate or always succeed. Now, you said, but we just spoke about the triumphal entrance of Christ into Jerusalem. What's wrong with being triumphant? Nothing wrong with being triumphant, but there's a difference between being triumphant. In other words, rejoicing and celebrating the triumph of Christ, and triumphalism. And triumphalism is especially problematic for us, for Christians, because it denies the way of the cross. You see, Jesus' path was not one of domination or instant glory, but characterized by humility, obedience, suffering. And triumphalism sort of skips over Good Friday to rush into Easter Sunday. But I want to remind you, there's no resurrection without the crucifixion. Triumphalism also distorts Christian witness. Why do I say distorts it? Because it kind of postures... an attitude of serving, of weeping, of washing feet, triumphalism leads to arrogance. Very often in a political domain, political overreach, or a belief that Christians are meant to win rather than to be faithful. Triumphalism doesn't really prepare people for real discipleship. Because when people believe that faith will always lead to prosperity or always lead to success or sort of cultural dominance, we find ourselves ill-equipped to deal with persecution or marginalization. The very persecution that Christ promised, told, warned his followers that they would face. But worse, triumphalism misrepresents Jesus. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, not a war horse. He was lifted up on a cross, not on a throne. His kingdom advances through love, through sacrifice, and truth, not through conquest. And so that's why triumphalism is not something that the church should be part of. One of the things, and we're not going to talk about that now, but one of the things we need to discern and figure out how we can be triumphant without moving on to the excesses of triumphalism. But back to our story of this young man. He remembered, fortunately, and there were people around him who could speak to him about the path of Jesus, the path that Jesus walked. Well, it was not just about comfort, but about commitment. And so this young man leaned into prayer. He kept showing up to serve. And he learned that faith is not avoiding hardship or difficulty, but walking through it with Jesus. And so the story of Christ doesn't end in the grave. The obedience of Jesus leads somewhere. It leads to vindication. It leads to resurrection. And God responds to Christ's obedience, not with silence, but with glory. We see in verse 9 of the text of Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. Jesus didn't exalt himself, God did. After the humility, after the obedience, comes the glory. If you read Isaiah 45, verse 23, it speaks of every knee bowing. And so when Paul writes this, he's not coming up with something new. Every knee bowing before God, before Yahweh. Every knee will bow. And then Paul says, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Psalm 31 echoes Jesus' prayer, or I suppose predates Jesus' prayer on the cross, reminds us, into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. And so we are not promised that faithfulness will be easy, But we are reassured that God sees, that God delivers, and that God vindicates. And so, if you're in a situation you may not of problem, of difficulty, you may not see vindication today, but it's coming. Just as Jesus was lifted up by God, so we too are promised a crown of righteousness, a share in Christ's glory. And this is where it becomes personal. You see, Paul is not just offering us a theology. He's giving us a pattern to follow. We see Christ's descent or Christ's obedience, his descent, his death on the cross, and his exaltation is not only about what Jesus did. When Paul explains that, but it's how we are called to live. In other words, it's our invitation to live a cross-shaped life. But not that kind of cross. Not a cross devoid of meaning. Not a cross that calls us to triumphalism, but a way of suffering. It's not a very popular message. I certainly don't like discomfort, but this is what we are called to. And we are not called to discomfort for the sake of discomfort, but because this very suffering in and for Christ and his kingdom leads us to exaltation, leads us to being lifted up, to share in his kingdom. And so in the same way, God confers a kingdom on Christ. He confers that on us. And so Paul's challenge is deeply personal. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He says, let this be your attitude. The pattern of Jesus. Humility, service, obedience, trust. That is the pattern we are called to live in. So that we obey even when it costs. We serve even when no one sees. And we trust even when the crowd and the world turns against us. When the things we say and believe become unpopular. So we are called to faithfulness when I'm misunderstood by family, by friends. Trust when that job application is rejected again. And quiet service when no one posts on social media about what you are doing. That's a cross-shaped life. And so if you were to read Luke, you would see, especially Luke chapter 23, but all of Scripture, you'll see it. Obedience will often lead to you being rejected. It would lead to injustice, to pain, to suffering. But it also leads to eternal glory. You remember that centurion who saw and believed? That criminal, the thief on the cross, that was promised paradise. When things looked, well, it just couldn't get any worse, and then it got better. It was about, he was dying. No hope, and then he received hope. And so, as we go into this week, I was so tempted to ask you, that this week, I mean, what are your plans for this week? Will this just be another week? The busyness of life. Maybe I can just interrupt. I had a terrible week, but I had such a busy week, I felt like I'm not getting to the things I need to get to. And for those of you who are still waiting on phone calls or WhatsApps that have not been answered, I apologize. But what are you going to do this week? The church celebrates Holy Week. I say the church, I'm not talking about this denomination or this congregation, but the church, the people of God. They set time aside. You see, the palm branches have been waved, but the road ahead leads to Gethsemane. Jesus walked that path, that road to Gethsemane, to trial and to a cross. I'm hoping that you change the plan for this week. That maybe you will call me and say, can't we meet? Can't we meet at church? Can't we just reflect? Can't we just read the scriptures together? Can't we just come and pray? Can't we just be together for certain times during this week? Can't we set time aside? I'm always amazed when I read that part of Jesus with his disciples and then he says, they're going to go with him to pray and he leaves them and he says, pray that you won't fall into temptation. And he goes off and he prays. An hour later, he comes back and they're fast asleep. And then when we read that text, it speaks of sweat falling off him like drops of blood. I'm not sure what that means. But it's a kind of anguish I don't want to go through, that our Savior went through. And he's asking his disciples, his comrades, his friends, to pray with him. And for them to pray that they wouldn't fall into temptation, and they can't. The Bible describes them as being wearied from sorrow. I'm hoping you would reshape your week, however you do it. You see, Christ calls us not to triumphalism, sort of everything's going to work out. I can just do what I want to do, but to trust, not to fame, but to faithfulness. And so we see that what appears to be the way down is actually the way up. And we see that the cross is not the end, that resurrection is coming. And so we can say, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. What am I hoping for this week? I don't know. But I'm hoping for a time of intimacy with God, an experience with fellow believers. And so at some point during this week, you can just drop me a line. I'm not going to organize anything official. Sort of, we're going to have meetings at this time. But I will be here in church, at church. And if you're going to come, drop me a note. Send me a WhatsApp. Phone me. We don't have my number. It's at the back there somewhere. There's a leaflet with numbers on. Or just meet with others. Pray. Come to the Good Friday service. And when you do come to the Good Friday service on Friday, which starts at 8:30, it's not just going to be a service where we rush through it. It'll start at 8:30 and I try not to go on for more than an hour. But it's not just going to rush through it so we can get to the end. But I'm hoping we'd get an appreciation of the suffering, of the crying, of the weeping, of the anguish, so that as we go through life, as we navigate this world, that we would have strength, that we would not be discouraged when things go wrong, and that with that, and when we are discouraged, we'd know what to do with it. We'd be able to come to our Lord and weep, cry before Him, ask Him to intervene. Because as someone has rightly reminded us, He has not left us as orphans. Lord Jesus Christ, You rode into Jerusalem knowing what awaited You, that You would be betrayed, that there would be suffering and death, and You walked the path with obedient love. Lord, I want to ask that You would shape our hearts, that You would change us so that we could follow You. Lord, would You teach us humility? Strengthen us for obedience. So I want to ask that You would give us courage in suffering. Lord, that You would give us hope in Your resurrection power. May we walk with You this week, Lord. But not only this week, may this week shape our lives because of who You are and what You have done, that we will always walk with You, that we will always choose Your path, that we will truly be followers of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We sing our last song as we stand together. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Coffee, and especially for our visitors, you are welcome to spend a few minutes with us so we can get to know you, or just get to meet you at least.
Go in peace, walking the path of Jesus, humble in spirit, faithful in suffering,
and confident in the God who raises the dead. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.